What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den podcast, your home for all things Amazon advertising tips, tricks, and strategies to make your Amazon advertising a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. Today on the show, I am thrilled to have Brent, a good friend of mine, Brent from AMZ Pathfinder, where we touch on something that I think a lot of people take for granted, which is when we launch, what should we set these starting bids to? And whenever we're creating a new campaign with new keywords or new targets in there, what do we set those bids to? So we're going to explore that today. It's a good one. And I'll see you inside the Badger Den.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bids set placements to. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my share of wrong keywords, but I've gone through. We are the PPC Den, my friends, and we'll keep up the amazing to.
Welcome, Brent. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Just off a little micro holiday up in Finland. Got back late last night. Have slept a bunch, so I'm feeling top form.
I've never been to Finland. What's the thing that people do in Finland?
A lot of Nordic skiing. A lot of drinking long drink, which is gin mixed with grapefruit soda, which is a delightful drink, and pretty much the only thing that I had when I was there. Being very detailed in their explanations. Finnish people have a very interesting way of answering questions, where if you ask a Finnish person something, they will give you the full answer. They'll give you all the details, some of which you might not even wanted to know. It's a bit of a cultural trait, I found. It's kind of an endearing one, though.
Wonderful. You mentioned the first thing, Nordic skiing.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what that is.
So skiing down a hill is like this, right? But Nordic skiing is, let's go on a really long walk, but you're on skis, essentially. Okay. And there's components where you're going downhill, but it's not downhill. You might imagine it like a ski run, like Black Diamond, we're going down at Banff. It's more like, hills like up, down, up, down, up, down. And Nordic skiing also involves an element of walking uphill in skis. And so there's special kind of skis and you're supposed to walk a special way. But, you know, you can actually, cover great distance Nordic skiing. And so it's something that I believe, I didn't do any of that while I was there because, of course, it's the summer. But it's like deeply ingrained in Finnish culture and tradition. It's been around for hundreds of years there. So, yeah, Nordic skiing. I did a lot of cycling on Nordic skiing trails, which was interesting.
Well, by the time that people finish this episode, they'll recap. So I just need to slide that in.
They'll be able to ski through.
Yes, bidding. Ski through. So I love going and looking at fundamental Amazon PPC principles and just sort of reevaluating them. I think Amazon PPC and Amazon marketing moves so quickly, it could be very easy to either overcomplicate or not pay attention to or forget or need a recap, where sometimes these sort of foundational episodes we sometimes take for granted. They become like noise to us and we don't pay attention to some of these fundamental things. And the topic we chose for today, I really like, we were joking that you and I, Brent, normally have very long episodes. You know, we've known each other for a very long time. We're very comfortable with each other. And I consider you one of my best buds in this industry and just in general. And we can often go on big tangents where it's like, what if we also brought up this thing and that other thing and this other thing, where you'd like to be very comprehensive,
right?
Which I think is very good. But our goal here is to have like a 20-minute bite-sized take action, refresh your skills episode today about starting bids when you launch a campaign.
So the question is, can we do it? Can we stick it to 20 minutes or less? And I think we can. I'm confident. I'm confident that we can.
So let's cue this one up. Starting bids when we launch a new keyword target, category targeting, new campaign, moving keywords to a new campaign, graduating terms. We're going to sort of talk about what you should be setting your bids at, what we like to do. And with that, let's actually jump right into it. Alrighty, Brent. We're starting off easy. Mm-hmm. Imagine you have a fresh, brand new Amazon advertising account, and you are launching brand new keywords and new themes that have never been done because it's a completely new account. Where do you get your starting bids from?
Yeah. Wow. There's so many potential sources. You could start with Amazon suggested bids. That's probably the most common answer that people would give. I would potentially argue that it maybe doesn't matter that much, which maybe is the controversial answer or the lead we're trying not to bury here. But what did you write in the notes we have here?
The best bid is the one you're updating.
The best bid is the one you're updating. Right, right. Sorry, I was waiting for you to say it. but basically, so the idea here is, you can start and you can make a series of assumptions about what bids will be. And, it's going to differ by match type too, and what the target is. But ultimately, the enemy has a plan as well. So that is to say, the people that you're bidding against on the market also have an idea of what the best bid is. And your plan, your assumed reality, is going to meet their reality. And once that happens, you're going to have to adjust your plan anyway. This is true of many things in life, but in the realm of bidding here, we'll try to keep it, yet again, 20 minutes episode, you're going to have to adjust anyway. So you can have an educated guess that can be based on data that Amazon gives you or data that you've gathered from your research, whether it's on Amazon or off, but ultimately you're probably going to have to change it up or down in the near term future anyway.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's a bit of a feedback loop. So, Amazon has their suggested bid. They have the low end, high end, and then the sort of mid range. They sort of give you three suggested bids there. I will say that my inclination is to generally start on the lower end, on the smaller end, and then I like frequent changes after that. So I'll start on the sort of the low end or even sub low, and because that captures the opportunity to say, well, what if I have an above average click through rate product? People really resonate with the product. I can potentially get a lot more traffic with a lower bid, and then sort of have this nice boost of performance plus bid, giving me this higher quality score than other people. Try to take advantage of that discount. I also like to see where I can nudge in, how accurate is that suggested bid, where I can just sort of say sometimes the suggested bids are way higher than what you can get clicks for. Sometimes they may be lower than what you can get mm-hmm. clicks for. So I like to start on the lower end of that suggested bid slowly and then gradually inch up. I'm a big incher-upper.
I was just going to say that. This mm-hmm. is a, I feel like this is a Mike Ad Badger tenant is inch up, the inch up method. I was just going to say it.
Yes.
You got it. But we're on the same wavelength there as usual. But that's the move. I also agree that starting lower and then incrementing is probably the best. I think in our findings at Pathfinder, we generally find that the suggested bids are too aggressive mm-hmm. for what Amazon wants us to do. And I do believe they break it out by match type now too. So generally the stratification you're going to see is lower bids are broad, and then those that are exact are the highest. Because of course there's a spectrum of what kind of targets you're capturing within each of those match types. And so it makes more sense to bid less aggressively for broad and then more aggressively for exact.
Yeah. So I think the adage of what to do with suggested bids, are they just malarkey? I think they're especially bad once you already have data. We're talking about launching new things. So really when you first launch a keyword, any bid is as good as any other one because you have no frame of reference. You have no anchor to sort of anchor your estimation on. So any bid is as good as any other one, but you should check in very frequently, especially in those early days, and say, well, did I get not enough clicks? Let me inch it up. Did I get way too many clicks? I don't need this bid to be this high. Then you can inch it down. So that's brand new keywords that you've never tested, that you have no frame of reference for. Let's jump to the second one. Alrighty, now this is keywords that you do have a frame of reference for. Maybe this is some kind of search term graduation. You already have data on it in ad group A, and you're going to be moving it to ad group B, or campaign A and moving it to campaign B, you know, some kind of auto to exact graduation, or maybe it's a related term. You know, you're bidding on, I don't know, mason jar, and then you're now going to bid on
mason jar lids.
Lid, yeah, baking, something like that. Sure. Because people can make muffins in mason jars, which is a popular use case. Moving on. So when you have
in Texas, it is maybe. I haven't seen one of those here, but sounds good though.
Yeah. So when you and then you eat right out of the mason jar. It's a thing.
That's a complete solution. Then you can easily wash that. Yeah. See, it all comes around.
It's a thing. I swear. Trust me. So
I believe you.
These are keywords that are not completely brand new. You've already got some data for them. Now, Amazon's still going to throw a suggested bid at you. Are you likely to use the suggested bid when you already have some data points from other ad groups?
No, I'm almost certainly going to ignore it in that circumstance. What I would want to think about, the first thing that comes to mind is, what kind of exposure or impressions do I want to get for this term if it already exists elsewhere, if we are migrating it? You know, whether we negate it or not is a whole other discussion that I think we'll leave on the table for now. But where do we want the impressions to go? Because the higher the bid, the, I guess, more likely Amazon is to give it to that particular target in that particular campaign versus somewhere else. So the question of where do we want the impressions and clicks to flow is one that we need to answer. So that's going to help dictate how high or how low the bid is set. And furthermore, we can look at the existing performance data and say, well, do we want to keep it like this? We have a pretty good set of data here for the last 30, 60, 90 days to tell us this is what it's going to do at this time of year or at this bid paired with this product. Because of course you might have a keyword that's relevant for more than one of your products, but let's say it's the clear mason jar, not the smoky glass one, which is more opaque. We know that it's going to work at this level because we've been seeing that performance for a while. And so we have good reason to suspect that the data here will hold if we move it elsewhere. So how do we want to adjust based on that information?
Yeah, exactly. So just confirming that, yeah, looking at what it was previously doing, and depending on if you like that level of performance or you don't like that level of performance, you'll tweak that going into the new ad group. Fairly straightforward there. I think my automatic gut reaction, like if I'm doing something for time and I'm short on time and I'm just trying to bang out a search term graduation in mass or something like that, I will go with what the thing was getting, what the things, the terms, average CPC was in its origin. I think that's an interesting case because normally I might filter for a level of performance. So I want to find everything, every search term that has a, you know, 20 to 30% ACOS. And I like that. And I want to move these terms into an exact match somewhere else. Sometimes I'll use that existing CPC of what these things were getting as a way to sort of inform my new bid. So maybe I go a couple points up or a couple points down, or maybe I just start there and then let the optimization process, you know, where I nudge things up and down, take place right after that. So there's a couple of considerations that I make there, but I like to refer to what the CPC was previously, because that will incorporate any kind of, if I had a top of search modifier in the origin ad group, that will be sort of reflected in what the CPC was for that thing, even more so than the bid. So love that concept. So those are keywords that already have some history. Let's jump to continuing the graduation, which is part three. So we've talked about some general keyword graduation, keywords where you have some data points now. Let's jump into sort of the top of the mountain when it comes to keyword graduation, which is single keyword campaigns with proven history, or keywords that you want to really get aggressive on, or keywords that you want to rank on, keywords where you want to increase market share on, sort of the most aggressive case. So imagine you are moving something into a single keyword campaign. Where do you get the bid for that? Like, how do you start that?
You might want to explore the top range of the market. Would be my first instinct, right? So it's like, how much could we actually pay for this if we are going to intentionally overpay? What is the ceiling on this? And is it worth for us at our conversion rate and the exposure that we'll get from hitting that ceiling and actually finding it to be at that price? And the answer may very well be no. In fact, it probably is no, because you'll find, okay, the ACoS there is totally unsustainable if that's our objective. Maybe actually having an unsustainable ACoS is fine if you're in certain scenarios. But you might want to explore the upper limits, just like we were kind of exploring the lower boundaries of the range of what is, you know, is still going to get impressions and be clicked on. Let's explore the upper limits. So I would be very aggressive in setting that, actually. And then, as always, the bid, the best bid is when you're updating. You want to keep an eye on it day after day, week after week, and make sure to have reasonable budget limits set so you don't bankrupt yourself at the campaign and maybe account level, just as backstops, right?
This might be hard to do, but let's try to get some approximations. Imagine the average CPC for your account is a dollar, and you're happy with that. You're happy with the level of performance. You identify a keyword where you want to rank on. So you create a sponsored product single keyword campaign, and you're going to go into that. So the average CPC for the account is like a dollar. This is your first ever single keyword campaign where you're going to try to push and get aggressive and gain market share and get all the ranking juice and everything. What are you setting that bid to in the new one?
I think I would do 150%. I would at least double it. Yeah, I would really tend towards being aggressive. So I would say, okay, let's do, you know, $2.50 and see if that's starting to reach some of the upper limits here.
Cool. What are your thoughts on doing it that way or launching it in the new single keyword campaign with a dollar bid, but then put 150% or 200% top of search modifier on that campaign?
I think I would actually prefer to actually set the bid, because if I was doing a single keyword, I would probably actually do fixed bidding and I wouldn't apply any modifiers. I would just set it to 250 right from there, because that would give me, I think, the most clear objective results.
Gain market share.
Yeah, instead of in like it would allow me to say like there's no other, because if you do 150, like, well, it's actually gonna spread you out. You're gonna be bid up to 150, but potentially you'll be at 115 or you'll be at 70, right? It can actually like scatter that target all over the place, can it? So I would say let's stick to 250 and let that ride and actually see what it can do. If you pull the throttle on the boat all the way, how fast can you really go across the lake?
Right, I agree. For some of those very important terms, why not really, really blast it? Cool. Let's slide into two more scenarios here. Let's go into scenario number 4. ASIN targeting. So we wanted to throw this in here because I often feel like it gets forgotten about, but we don't forget things here on this podcast. So we talked about keywords this entire time. We use the word keyword a lot. Sometimes when we say keyword, we're actually including like just general targeting. One way you can target is with ASIN targeting. So I think that you can sort of split ASIN targeting out with like a brand new ASIN, or like an ASIN that was in an auto campaign that was doing well that you wanted to get more aggressive on, or even your own ASIN brand defense type thing. But maybe generally talk to us about how you would approach ASIN targeting starting bids.
Sure. Yeah. Because the thing with ASIN targeting is it's all relative to your offer. So what is your product detail page? What is your offer in relation to the offer you're targeting? If it's your own offer, if you're doing this kind of cross targeting, let's call it, I would get really aggressive with the bids because it's like, we're defending our turf. Let's bid up. And I've seen people do this and I hear it talked about in groups that, you know, both you and I are a part of. So it's like, yeah, I bid $5 for my ASINs because I like, you know, screw the competitors. I don't want them to be on my page at all. Okay. Yep. That's a very aggressive way to do it. But I understand usually the conversion rate for those is also going to be quite high.
Yep.
And more importantly, you're just keeping that page free of like all these other brand names. Right. So I see that. Now, if you're bidding, the opposite case might be a product that is lower priced or has way more like reviews or has objectively a better offer. And that's something you have to put your consumer hat on to go and look at, right? Is like, is their offer better than mine? Like, let's be real. Like, let's be real here. If I was looking for this mason jar, that one, it just looks, the photos are better. It's a dollar or two cheaper. You know, that would be a situation where I would take a much more cautious approach to bidding. And I wouldn't dare jump in there with $5 and just say like, let's go after them aggressively. Now, The third example I might give is like someone's $5 more than you. Their product listing's kind of crap. Their photos aren't good. They don't have a video. You can slide in there. You could probably convert higher than them. And that would be another place I would take like the middle path. So not low, not super high, but like confident. You know, you're walking into the room with confidence. You're saying, hey, you know, we got this. We're better than these guys. We know it. Let's bid appropriately.
Dude, I have to say that I agree 1,000% with everything. When you're doing some brand defense, ASIN targeting, if my like account average is like a dollar, I'll probably do $2. You know, it's a branded play. I think the counterpoint that sometimes people bid lower on their brand defense, I don't like specifically for ASIN targeting. I think there's a good argument for like bidding lower on your branded keywords, but I think brand defense ASIN targeting is sort of worth it. Cause it's like your product page. So like it's extra important cause like they've already found their way to you. Now you want to keep them here. So I was, I do like that idea. I also like the other end of the spectrum. Like if you're going to be doing some kind of like going after somebody's hero product, like good luck, probably bid, you know, you're going to have a hard time there. You're probably going to be struggling ACoS wise. And then the, you know, walking in confidently of products that you can go after. And this slides super nicely. We're not even going to play the transition for the fifth area, which is category targeting. So this is, there's very good lessons for what you just said when it comes to category targeting, starting bids when you're bidding on a category. This is an underutilized thing. I think of most Amazon marketers are going to be more meticulous and say, I don't want to go after an entire category.
Yeah.
I would rather be more meticulous and say, I want to go after these specific products. And when you do category targeting, you do have some options to refine it down. Say, oh, I only want to target stuff, you know, that's not 5 stars. I only want to target stuff that is within a certain price range.
Which is such a great feature. I do. Which love is
such
that,
a great feature. Yeah. I only want to go after this brand where their products are poor, are like not 5 stars and, you know, more expensive than mine and things of that nature. So with all that said in mind, I imagine the answer here is like the same kind of principles where it's like, if you're going to go after people and like, you're going to include 5-star products, you know, it's probably going to be pretty expensive. If you're going after lower tier products, you're probably going to have a easier time. But how does that influence sort of the bidding in your mind?
Well, that's tough. Cause my default answer was actually a little bit more simple than what you've just said. Cause my instinct with the category is immediately to bid low and in shop actually would be to maybe even cast a very wide net and say like, you know, home and kitchen, glassware, mason jars, like the subcategory, right?
Bid
There's
low.
A lot of stuff in there, but we're casting a huge wide net. And I think now, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we have better attribution and reporting for categories. So we can see, okay, these are ASINs that are working well. And like, we can migrate those and push those around, negate them as needed.
Yep.
If I were to use more nuanced tactics, like using like stars, for example, like, okay, products that are 3.5 stars or less, like those are objectively a worse rating, then I might be able to, you know, walk into the room with confidence, like I mentioned before. But my default approach, maybe I don't use enough category targeting, would just be low bids in a broad net.
I agree. I treat this almost like a broad brush, sort of like an auto or a broad discovery. I'm trying to find if there's any specific ASINs that I can do well on. I also think it's higher up on the mountain in terms of I'd be hesitant to start there because generally I find like these are a little harder to make convert, like to find the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I use this almost as a way to like just sort of like continue to inch into a market to continue to try to increase my market share beyond like the auto and the bra and the phrase and exact and maybe, you know, sponsor brand. So it's, I put it in the category of like continuing to expand reach. And generally when I'm continuing to expand reach, I generally like to bid a little bit lower. So I would say if like the average CPC in my account is like a dollar, I'd probably start category targeting at like 50 cents, which is like, I'm just trying to dabble in there. I'm just trying to dabble in there. And to your point, if I was going after weak stars, star ratings, or maybe strategic pricing decisions, and then I might have more confidence to sort of go in there with closer to my, you know, average target, which is like a dollar CPC. So
I agree with that.
Those are some ways that I think of category targeting and bidding.
One more framing for category targeting that might be interesting, Mike. You know, when we're talking about spend and the portion of spend between different campaign types and even ad types that goes to you know, the accounts that we all manage and the clients we work with, you know, category probably doesn't make up a very large percentage. It's certainly not double digits, right?
Sure.
It's a single digit percentage of overall spend. And the reason for that is because the bids are probably more cautious, right? They're not the ones that we talked about with a single keyword. They're not like that. And that's those two things are related, obviously. So
yeah.
That's like one other last piece for category in particular.
And sometimes I feel like it's expensive for no reason.
Like it's what
just
do you
high,
mean? What do
it's
you
just
mean?
Like high CPCs to get in there for no reason. Because it's not like specific targeting. It's mm-hmm. like broad mm-hmm. and like that should be cheaper because I'm like, you know. But so that's why I do like to exercise some caution there and go smaller with smaller bids at the start.
I think we found that with sponsored display CPC bid type for category is like for some reason it is weirdly costly sometimes. You're like, why is this like $1.40? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think all paid traffic platforms have some kind of weird scaling or weird like basement level bids or clicks that they want to charge for different things. You know, if you're like going out there and you're like bidding on a keyword that's like a made up word or something like that, and then you put that made up word in your product and like you appear for this made up word, it's like some kind of really weird, bizarre thing. You are not going to get that click for a penny, even though nobody else is bidding on it. It's still going to be something higher than a penny, I think. You know, I've played around with concepts like this across like Google and Amazon. And it's just like, wait a second, like nobody else is bidding on this thing. Why isn't it a penny? And I think they have this weird sort of
like you said, it's a ceiling. Or sorry, it's a floor. It's a subfloor, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's making sure that nothing goes below that. Yeah. Ah, interesting. Right. Well, maybe a topic for another day, but I would agree with that just anecdotally. If I, you know, sit here and reckon it, it sounds okay. That kind of matches my experience.
Well, Brent, we've done it. We've talked about starting bids, and hopefully this gives people context for like when they're launching things, and you know, perhaps this will be part of a larger refresh on launching stuff, like launching new campaigns, launching products,
mm-hmm. default settings and such. Yeah,
you know, your default setting here. So Brent from AMZ Pathfinder, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's always a pleasure. I really enjoyed hearing about your trip to Finland, and we are about to finish this episode.
Thanks, Mike.
Goodbye.